And as Robbie, we enjoyed you calling in last week as Greg Biffle, but this is fine too.
Exactly. I was trying to think of somebody else I could call in as today, but I didn't come up with anything any good. So
yeah.
It's just me today. No big deal.
Oh, that's cool. Well, no, you're fantastic. So, you know, I'm getting a sense of I think there's still a high level of interest in the basketball program. I think there's not a lot of interest at this point in the basketball season. I'm sensing some apathy at this point in the year for Arkansas fans. For me, as a guy who's going to actually attend the SEC tournament next week, I'm watching closely to see what happens this weekend, because with Georgia's win last night, the 7 seed is up in the air, the 8 seed's up in the air. It's going to be impactful this weekend if Arkansas wins or loses, as well as how a few other teams around there, LSU, Georgia, those teams happen to do this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it looks like at this point Arkansas can finish anywhere from number 6 to number 9. So what does that all mean? I mean, it's tough to say. You know that you're going to have to play a Thursday game. That's better than having to go and having to play on Wednesday. So you get to go play Thursday. Your opponent's still to be determined. At this point, if the season were done right now, it would be Arkansas against Vanderbilt in that 6:30 time slot, the 7-versus-10 game. So that's the way it would shake out as of now. But, you know, as you said, there's still a lot to be determined on Saturday. So who knows where Arkansas is going to finish at this point. I know the one goal, if you look at it realistically, you don't want to finish in that 8 or 9 spot, because, you know, if you win that game and you advance, your next opponent's going to be Florida.
Yeah.
So that to me, although, you know, playing Missouri, playing Kentucky, you know, 2-3 seeds, that's not going to be any sort of easy chore either. But I don't think you want to play Florida their first game there, because Florida, you know, is clearly, you know, the elite team in this conference this year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, too. We were talking about the schedule this weekend, Robbie, is Missouri-Tennessee. That's you're talking about a premier matchup there, and
yeah.
Missouri trying to help itself, you know, from a seeding standpoint in the NCAA tournament. We're assuming they're already in, and then Tennessee still fighting for its tournament life. Did suffer a setback recently, but they have played really good basketball of late. That's going to be a fun one to watch.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I know Arkansas fans hate it, but I love the way Missouri's playing right now. They look like they've got everybody back healthy. They look like they're starting to click on all cylinders, and I think you're starting to see the team that everybody thought they could be when the year started. So it was an ugly night up there for the Razorbacks, but, you know, Missouri, you know, you got to look at them and think, this team is capable of making some noise. And, you know, I don't think it would be a stretch to say that they may be one of the favorites to win the tournament next weekend. I think they certainly can. You know, I think Florida, you look at it as number one, but how interested is Florida? Because I think they feel like they've done all they needed to, as far as seeding goes and things like that. So you look at what's next in Missouri. They've still got a lot to play for. Although they feel like they're in the tournament, they can really climb if they make a good run, and they can get a good seed if they can make a good run in Nashville next week.
Probably back to Arkansas for a moment too. You know, when you look at the teams that are tied, and you got three of them tied for that 7 spot right now between LSU, Arkansas, and Georgia. Actually, LSU would have the tiebreaker right now, but they've got Arkansas has the easiest matchup of the three teams that are tied with 9 wins right now, so they have no excuse this weekend, and certainly nobody to blame but themselves if they can't get the job done. Hosting A&M, and Georgia's at Bama, tough draw, and then Ole Miss is going to LSU. LSU's at home, but again, you got an Ole Miss team that's fighting for its tournament life as well, very hungry, or at least should be a very hungry Ole Miss team this weekend. So Arkansas does have, of those teams, the best setup.
No doubt, and Arkansas needs to take care of business. It is what they've done all year long, and I know somebody asked me, you know, well, how do you think that they'll respond to losing by 30? Well, they'll probably respond the way they have all year long. You know, they've come off with some bad road losses and come home and played well. Clearly, Arkansas, you know, is out of the NCAA tournament picture as far as the at-larges go at this point. We know that. They've got to go to Nashville and win the tournament, so maybe, you know, they are a little wounded there, but I think this team has done a good job of putting losses behind it, you know, so far this year, and coming back and winning at home. And certainly you've got some incentive. I mean, Arkansas can finish undefeated in conference play at home with a win Saturday, and that's something that hasn't happened here since 97-98. So, you know, if you're looking for things, you know, to grab onto, that's one. And this team loves playing in Bud Walton Arena, and they've got one more chance to do it this year.
What's your sense of this team right now as far as, or do you have any feel for, you know, guys coming back, guys that might look for opportunities professionally, you know, guys that may not be back as part of this team next year for whatever reason, I guess, outside of going to play professional basketball? Do you have a feel for that at this point?
Yeah, it's hard to say at this point. I know nobody's wanting to talk about it. I know Mike Anderson was talking about it yesterday, or was asked about it yesterday, and didn't really want to get into it because, you know, as he said, the season's still going on. I think, you know, when we look at it, we all know, well, what is Marshawn Powell and B.J. Young? What are those two guys going to do? I think those are the two guys that you wonder, you know, if they're going to move on. And I know B.J. hasn't had the year that he probably hoped or a lot of people had hoped, but I still think that there's plenty of NBA talent there. So, you know, he's got a way where he slides in the draft and what people are projecting him at now, and decide whether that's good enough for him or if he wants to come back and try to better himself for another year. Marshawn Powell's a guy that's been here for a long time. This is his fourth year on campus, and you got to wonder, you know, he's older too. I think he's like 22, 23, something like that. So you got to wonder, is it time for him to start, you know, going to make money, whether it's in the NBA or whether it's overseas or whatever it may be? And those are the two guys you look at and you wonder if they're going to come back, you know, and you know, the rest of the roster, there always seems to be some transfers at the end of every year. I'm not sure who that would be this year. I don't really want to speculate at this point because, you know, that seems a bit unfair for some of those guys. But we'll start to figure that out once the season ends, you know, if there's anybody that's looking like they're going to move on.
Robbie Nyswanger of the Arkansas News Bureau joining us in the Zone on the Revolution Hotline. We had a question come up from a caller this week, and I wasn't really familiar with this, but they had said something about Arkansas maybe being short a scholarship or two going forward if everybody comes back and they get all the guys in that they have signed. Do you know anything about that, or any scholarship issues as far as having the number available?
Yeah. You know, I haven't crunched the numbers, and I probably should have, but I think that with the two that they have signed, I think that they're full for next year. So maybe if guys are taking off or leaving or not coming back, maybe that opens some more. So I know Anderson talked about it a little bit yesterday. He said, listen, you know, we're still recruiting. They're not signing anybody at this point because I believe that they're at the limit with the two that are coming in next year. But, you know, at the end of the year, if guys leave, they'll certainly want to go and fill those slots, and that's what they'll do. So I don't have the math done at this point. I don't do much recruiting during the year, but I think I'm pretty sure that they're right at that limit.
Robbie, we shouldn't have to do math anyway. We're
I know. Hey, that's why I'm in this profession. I don't do math. You know,
exactly.
Yeah. We're doing math as sports guys. You just don't realize it because it's math that you've been doing since you were a kid.
Yeah, well, that's what bothers me because I've forgotten it since then. You know, we were talking earlier about Calvin Burrell, the jockey who got his 5,000th win, and how many wins you would have to get per year to average to get to 5,000. So my brain is already strained from that. Arkansas football practice, there's numbers there that are not confusing at all. Three points of access for media members for Brett Bielema's team in the spring, yeah, until the red-white game. What, as a journalist, how do you feel about it? Have you gotten any negative feedback or any feedback whatsoever from fans or other journalists about the decision to close practice for the most part?
Well, in my job, you know, let's be honest, I'm for all access all the time. There's no doubt. I think it should be open. I want it to be open. I want access. That's just the nature of the beast. I did pose a question on Twitter when it came out. You know, what do you think about this? Talk to the fans and things like that. And I got some mixed responses. I got some that say that's great. I got some that say it's disappointing. I think the overriding sentiment from fans is whether they like it or not, they understand it. So I think that's the approach as far as the fan base goes. And there will be some upset people because, you know, I think in reality, especially this first week, you know, they practice Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And not only is it closed to everybody, there's no media availability either. So really, you know, it's almost like this isn't happening the first week. They're going to practice, but nobody's going to really know anything about it, except for maybe stuff that may trickle out, you know. But I don't think there'll be much information trickling out. So it'll be pretty quiet. You know, somebody was talking to me about the other day, you know, about practice starting this week. I said, well, for my purposes, it's almost as if spring ball doesn't start until March 26th when they return from spring break. So I think there's still a ways to go, you know, before we'll get much information. And I know Bielema will speak to the media next Friday after the first week, so he'll be able to break it down at that point. I'll be in Nashville, unfortunately, so I won't be able to get to that. But, I think his reasoning is that he just wants them to concentrate and focus on themselves and really kind of get a feel for each other those first 3 days. And, you know, if that's what the head man wants, that's what they're going to get.
My theory is they're going to put him through some vigorous training. I mean, it's going to be. Yeah. I think it's going to be rough, and I think it's going to be, you know, I don't want to say weeding out, but I think it's going to be put them to the test and see how they respond. And again, this is you're talking about a completely different kind of assessment period as opposed to a coach who's been around guys for a year or two. And I'm in the same boat as a lot of the fans you talked about. I don't like it either, but I understand it, and I can certainly deal with it. I get where they're coming from on that. And as a guy who, you know, look, I understand some of my friends in the media are somewhat lazy. I would think they're probably jumping for joy. They're like, well, I would cover it, but I can't really because they're not letting us. So there's that.
there is some of that, but, you know, that's what I'm in the sport. I love doing that. I love going out and getting information and being able to disseminate it to everybody, you know. And
yeah.
That's what I'm here for. So it's a bummer. You know, this time of year when the weather's starting to warm up a little bit, and it seems to be, you know, you want to roll out to football practice and see what's going on, especially when there's a lot of intrigue. But, you know, what you said is true. I think that's exactly what's going on. But, you know, there may also be things like, I don't know, let's just, they're going to go take Mikhail McKay and throw him out at safety and see how he does. You know, and they don't want anybody to make a big deal out of it because they're just trying to evaluate players at different positions. And that's, I don't think that's happening with Mikhail McKay, first of all, but I'm just throwing that out there. But
theoretically.
That's the sense that you get, that there might be guys that they're going to try in different spots. They just want to see how they react. They don't want people to make a big deal out of it.
What are a few of the storylines you do want to, I guess, are watching or expect maybe to, not to be decided, but to see things, you know, maybe come out of spring as we get into this?
Oh, let's see. Quarterback?
Yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah, that's probably it right there. I mean, what's going to happen to this position? I mean, we know that Brandon Mitchell's going to play there. We know that Brandon Allen's going to play there. How is that competition going to go? And not only that, will one of those guys do well enough in the spring for Bielema and the staff to say, okay, one of these guys is going to be our guy, you know, next season? Or do they show some good things, show some bad things, show some concerns, and the coaching staff says, we need to wait till these freshmen get in here and see what they can do before we make a decision? So I think that's going to be number one, you know, the most intriguing thing. And number two, I want to see what they're doing with the offensive line and the defensive line. We know there's a lot of talent coming back on the defensive line. Bielema's, you know, really stressed that, you know, they're going to build from the interior out. That's what their plan is with this program. They've got some work to do on the offensive line. You know, how well they're going to be able to mold these guys and shape these guys into what they want right away. And we're going to see what happens there. And then the third thing, I think I want to see what they're doing in the secondary. Because it was a young group, and you could see it was a group that was starting to come on a little bit. But, you know, they've added a couple of junior college guys that are going to enter the mix right away. I want to see how well and maybe how much more improved these guys can play in the spring.
Well, I saw a story on SaturdayDownSouth.com. They were looking at the best defensive tackles for spring practice, and they had Byron Jones as one of the top three guys, along with Anthony Johnson of LSU and Easley from Florida. And then they had, as an underrated player, a top eight guy was Robert Thomas of Arkansas. So, yeah, the defensive line, I mean, there are a lot of eyes on them, not only here in Arkansas, but around the country.
No doubt. And, you know, I think, you know, this line has played pretty well the last couple of years, but it was really regarded as a team strength, and you just didn't see that that dominant performance.
Right.
Out of the group. You know, Chris Smith had plenty of flashes, and Trey Flowers did too, but, you know, I want to see if this new coaching staff can turn these veterans who are, you know, basically juniors and seniors at this point, if they can turn them into a dominant group next year. And if they can, that's a good thing for this defense next year.
There's no question about it. Robbie Nyswanger joining us on the Revolution Hotline. Arkansas's baseball team, switching gears here, back on track. Offensively, still some struggles, but did win yesterday 2-0 over San Diego State, the first of a four-game set. What'd you take away from yesterday? We were talking earlier, I guess, about Poche, and he's continuing his good start on the season, one of the few bright spots in the early going here.
Yeah, yesterday was a bit of a weird game because, you know, in the end, Arkansas turned more double plays than they had hits. They had four double plays, which tied a school record. They only had three hits in the game. They had no hits after the third inning, so they didn't exactly come back with a vengeance offensively, but I think what you did see was they got some runs across early, they took the lead, and that's what they like to do. That's where they're most comfortable, because then they turn it over to their pitching staff. And you're right, Poche, he pitched great. He did a great job once again. He's now thrown, I think it's 11 in the third innings without allowing a run, so you got to feel good about, you know, his start as a freshman. Then you had Brandon Moore come in and do what he does. And then, you know, Barrett Aston made his first appearance out of the bullpen this year and did what he normally does, and that's close the thing out. So it was a good win for this team because of the fact they were coming off that bad road trip. They feel much better now, I think, as they enter the second game of the series. And, you know, they do still need to get more production offensively. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, they'll take a 2-0 win any day.
No doubt. Ryan Stanek on the mound today, and hopefully he won't need quite as many double plays to get out of trouble today. 3:05 start, and again, you can hear that on our sister station, The Heartbeat, 106.7. Real quick, the Arkansas women losing yesterday. Disappointing game, a game they led in the second half. 64-59. I guess the good news is you don't have to play Tennessee, so there's the only upside on that one. And then this is something that it doesn't bother me. It doesn't infuriate me. It just confuses me. They have done this the last several years. I don't know what – I guess Coach Collins trying to pad the win total maybe to some degree, but there's a matchup with SIU Edwardsville next week that they'll play, and they've been doing this the last handful of years, I guess. This has got to be at least 3 years in a row where they played this post-SEC tournament non-conference matchup, something nobody else in the world does, I don't think.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, they do it every year. I don't know what the deal is there, but they'll be doing that again. So they are not done, at least not from that standpoint. I don't know what, if any, chance they have of an NIT bid.
Yeah. I think that's what we're looking at. You know, will they get an NIT bid? And I can explain why they do that game at the end of the year. It's because when you finish the women's tournament, you still have the rest of this week, next week, before the women's field is announced and selected. So I think it's a lot of it's to ward off some stagnant play. Mm-hmm. If you're lucky enough to still be able to play in the postseason, you want to be able to be, you know, kind of fresh and crisp and sharp. And he's figured this is a good way to do it. At least schedule one of these games where you can get out there and you can get on the court against somebody. You know, they're certainly not scheduling Stanford or anything like that, you know,
right,
for this period. They're just scheduling a game to try to get some more game action going. So that's what they're doing. And, you know, we'll see what happens here. If they get a WNIT spot, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Right now, I know that they haven't had quite the season they had hoped for or expected.
Yeah.
We know they're not going to get an NCAA tournament, which is a disappointment for them. But if they get a chance to play basketball, I think it's important because there is still some young players on this team that could grow and learn from an experience like that. So that's what they're hoping for, and that's we'll have to wait and see if they get that.
See, that's why we bring you on, because you do have an answer for that thing, and now I feel way less confused about that whole deal. Now it makes perfect sense to me.
You can explain it to anyone else now.
In addition to that, I would say it is unfortunate they're not playing Baylor, because I would actually make the effort to get to Fayetteville to watch Brittany Griner in person. Yeah. That would be a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? I wouldn't want to get on the court with her, because she would tear me apart. So
she definitely would.
And
she'd let you know about it, and that would be embarrassing.
I saw her throw one down the other day.
Yeah.
One-handed.
She's had 14 dunks in her career.
Yeah.
Not just that. She did a spin move and then threw one down right-handed. It was
a sweet-looking post move.
Yeah, it was great.
I wish I was 6'8". I would be dunking, too. But I'm not. I'm 5'8", and I won't be dunking anything except donuts. So, Robbie, we appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. And, you know, I don't appreciate the negativity about the trip to Nashville. I know it's as opposed to going to spring football practice. However, you do get to hang out with me, and the first round of Diet Cokes are on me. So just get ready to party, my man. We're going to get wild in Nash Vegas. We're going to spend a little bit of time down in Printer's Alley. We're gonna have a blast. So
stay up past 11.
We're gonna get Trey to buy the first round of steaks. So it's gonna be good. We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna make the best of a marginal situation.
Wow, I want to be on the road every weekend. Then let's do it. Come on.
It's getting better all the time. Look, Buzz is more generous than most with the per diem, so I don't mind spreading the love a little bit. It's all good, especially not when it's Trey's.
I might spend a Trey's per diem. How's that sound?
I promise you, sold. I'll buy you a steak. No problem. We just got to find the right joint. So I know that you have a Palm restaurant over there. That's always a good bet. So
there you go. Hey, I know there's a Chris there. If you're
a Roost Chris?
Yeah,
that's good too. I don't know. It would be a toss up. I like both those a lot, but we'll decide when we get there. Maybe we'll flip for it.
There you
All
go.
Right, Robbie. Good. Thanks, man. Have a good weekend, right, and we'll have a lot to catch up on next week for sure.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
All right. Take care.
Okay. You too.
All right. Thanks. All right, we got to take. Let me get Danny in here, and then we got to take a timeout. Coming up, we are going to talk to Monty Taylor, who is about due actually here. Danny's in Sherwood. Hey, buddy.
When you go to Nashville, you are going, right?
Yes, sir.
See the hag or see the possum, Mr. George Jones. Sit down and have a beer with him.
I'd love to hang out. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah, George Jones is alive. He called in the morning show a while back. I couldn't make hide nor hair of what he was saying, but he was definitely very much alive.
So who called in the morning show?
George Jones was on with him a while back. It was maybe a year ago now or more. Oh, it was hilarious. The clip was classic because you couldn't hardly make out a word he was saying.